Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Batch Bitch, we're here, we're talking about Married at First Sight at the moment.
Still,
forever. I don't even want to talk about it, to be honest. It was nice, we actually talked before we started the podcast.
Yeah, and not about Married at First Sight at all.
Just sort of things. Bitching about people at comedy festivals.
Yeah, so all good.
You don't record that part. Anyway, Danielle, how are you?
Yeah, good. Comedy Fest kicked off this week and I realised on the night before Comedy Fest kicked off that maths has been taking a toll on me.
Yes.
But I just hadn't, like, let it in. Like, I'd been trying to be like, no, my anxiety is just my anxiety for Comedy Fest. It's just that. And then I realised when I was watching maths that I was, like, sort of, like, shaking a bit and was like, oh no, this is causing a bit of anxiety too.
Absolutely.
So I'm sorry to have ever defended maths. I've got like Stockholm syndrome with maths.
Mm-hmm.
So I was trying to protect my captor.
And just bottle up.
Yeah.
Just repress.
Yeah. And now I've come out, I can see clearly now.
Yeah.
That they are indeed a monster.
Somehow this still isn't the last fucking episode.
No. So apparently we've got two more episodes. One with Heidi and Mark doing their vows. And I don't know whether we'll have the reunion dinner party that night as well. And then on Sunday we'll have that, like, it looks like a commitment ceremony type thing where they bring up all the shit that people did on the show, or whether it'll be just Heidi and Mike tomorrow and then the reunion and the couch situation
on Wednesday.
On Sunday.
No,
it's on Sunday.
No, it's not.
Yeah, the ad said there's a show on tomorrow night and then there's a show on Sunday.
Why won't it end? Danielle, I can't, I've like barely written any notes because
that's,
I was
okay.
Like, I don't have to do this for, I started telling, I was like, maths is taking a toll on my mental health. And they're like, stop watching the show. I was like, I have a podcast.
Yeah.
And they were like, that's so dumb and not enough of an excuse to keep watching it. But I'm committed to you and to this show.
Thank you.
God, I hate it so much.
Can I say a little bit of positive news? Jono asked me when Bachelor in Paradise starts last night. And I said, he didn't know what it was called, but he was like, when's The Bachelor back on? Mm. I was like, well, it's different. There's more people. And then I told him, I was like, it's mostly people from all the past. Like, I don't think there's any new faces. Is that right? There's no new faces?
Yeah, sometimes they bring in people from overseas versions of The Bachelor.
Yeah, I said that. And so he was very happy that there was going to be some people from the last season. I told him who. And he was so happy that Vanessa Sunshine was coming back.
Hell yeah, I think we all are.
Yeah.
That's all we need.
Yeah.
We don't have any Vanessa Sunshines anymore.
No. There was no... Who was... Vanessa Sunshine? No, there was nobody in maths like Vanessa Sunshine.
No.
No.
There's only one. And thankfully we get to see her again. Beautiful Vanessa Sunshine. Oh, it's going to be such sweet relief. This has been making me so anxious. And then I've been really anxious. I emailed my psychologist the other day.
Yep.
No response yet. But, okay. You know, fingers crossed. Even she's rejecting me. And then someone said, I don't know if you saw my Twitter. You know Gamey Game? I do a YouTube show about video games.
Yes.
That I'm on every week as like a regular guest. And the whole point of the show is that it's a disaster. I don't know if you've seen it.
I think I've seen a clip from it. Somebody, I was in the Gold Coast doing gigs and the guy who runs the gigs, I stayed at his house and he was watching it and he was like, yeah, they pretty much just try and stop Evan from talking and getting to any topics.
Yeah.
So is that, that's
it's
the...
It's literally, yeah. We just fuck around. Yeah, like, okay. Yeah. Anyway, this guy tweeted at me. He said, hey, he tagged me and he went, hey, maybe stop putting your dog on the table while your friend is trying to host a show. Seems pretty fucking disrespectful. Love, a fan.
So he doesn't realize that the whole point of the show is to kind of fuck with Evan then, I guess?
Well, that's why he's like, yeah, they were like, he's been watching it for over a year.
I wish everybody would just let Evan speak for once.
It's like all the people who think that, like, stop watching a long time ago. Yeah. Because the whole point of the show, Evan literally told me, he's like, I like having you on because you let the new guests know that it's okay to interrupt me. That's like my job. And like, this guy's so mad that I put Tarzo on the desk, but it's literally I put him on there and he just sits there and like he doesn't like do anything. It's like the least disruptive thing that I do.
Isn't there also like always like three dogs on the desk anyway?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's just fucking insane. And then I think like every comedian that he respects had a go at him. So that was good.
That is good.
Too. Well, I know he respects Michelle because he commented on another video saying that she was fit. Capital letters. Oh my God, it's Patty.
Oh. Oh no.
I would be so heartbroken if it was Patty aggressively tweeting at me. Anyway, so that put me in a rotten mood. And then later that day, I got an Instagram message that just said, kill yourself.
Why? What had you done? What did you do to deserve that?
Well, because I was having like an anxiety spiral, I was like, oh, it's my personality and everyone hates me and I should just go kill myself. But then I remembered I commented on a sports bet post.
What'd you say?
I said they did an April Fool's joke.
What was their April Fool's joke? Was it odds? That did you have to get them? Be like, these odds are crazy.
No, it was, we're going to start projecting sports bet odds onto the Opera House.
Oh. Wasn't that joke from ages ago?
No, it was something real that happened. They put like basically an ad for horse racing on the Opera House and everyone was mad because it was gambling and they thought, well, people were mad because they're like, it's the Opera House, it's the home of art. That's what I imagine they sound like. But other people were mad because it's like promoting gambling. And we've talked about how much I hate gambling and how much you love it because you're a monster.
Listen, I don't love it. I just put $15 in an account and now I bet on it, like $1 bets, and I'm up heaps. And
did
I'm
you take your $15 out?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
And now my remaining amount, I'll check live on air. Remember, I put 50 cent or $1 bets on. So the fact that I've gone up so much is crazy. So now, after putting my $15 in, winning the money, taking my $15 out, I'm on $44.88.
All right, shut up, because you're going to encourage people to gamble.
Okay, guys, if you put $1 in the account and bet 50 cent bets, you'll probably just, it's a little bit, for me, a little bit of fun. Makes me get excited about the sport sometimes. I'm like, oh, I've got a vested. Because if not, I'm not going to get involved in the sports. I'm not going to watch
that's,
it.
Sport isn't fun. There's your answer. Anyway, I hate gambling. And I wrote something like, how much money did you have to spend to come up with this lazy joke? And how many broken families does that equate to? And their fans did not like that.
No.
And one told me to kill myself. Anyway.
And then somebody else messaged you and said, don't kill yourself?
Yes. I think that was because I showed people, I posted that I'd gotten that message. And then people were like, don't kill yourself. And I was like, well, that's great. That's much better for me. So, yeah. Anyway, I was relieved because I thought it was like about my personality. But it was just a gambling addict.
Is it bad that part of me wishes that, like, when people message kill yourself, that, like, part of me would want to do an absolute elaborate prank where, like, I get my family off their private accounts to message him and say the police have, she killed herself and the police have taken control of her accounts and they told us that you did it. And then just see how he responds. I would love that.
I mean, yeah, my response was, I'm just going to do it and write his name in the suicide note. But no, that's better. That's a better version where I don't actually have to die. But I thought about it. I was like, fuck, he would not do that again if I actually killed myself. That would get him good.
Or maybe he would.
Maybe he would.
Yeah, maybe he would do it again. Maybe he's that much of a cunt.
Maybe he'd be like, fuck, this worked the last time.
Yeah.
Anyway, I reported his message and now it's gone, but his account's still up and I'm annoyed. Because you should get your account banned if you tell somebody to kill themselves.
You probably shouldn't be allowed to have social media.
Yeah, I think so. Anyway, I was excited because I thought his account was going to get deleted, but it did not. Apparently, you can just say that, and their solution is if we find it violates our community standards, we'll delete the message. And it's like, I feel like it's already done the damage.
Yeah.
And deleting it isn't like, oh, thank God, the message is gone now.
Yeah, it just feels like you've been gaslighted.
Yeah, it's like this never happened. But no, they didn't even tell me. Maybe he deleted the message because he realized it got reported or something. I'm just going to keep reporting it. I'm just going to keep sending in reports and be like, this guy did this.
Give me his name and I'll report him too.
Oh, it's Daniel_Pullen03.
All right.
So, I mean, you can find that on my Twitter if you forget. Daniel_Pullen03.
Cannot wait.
Send him a message. I had to double check. He is following sports bet, so that is why.
He could be the high-flying exec who came up with the bet.
Yeah, I don't know why someone who follows sports bet would be would message a girl telling her to kill herself.
So did you say
but
Daniel,
it does seem like their core demographic. Daniel_Pullen03.
So his Instagram picture is him playing cricket. Is that correct?
I assume it's not him. I assume it's a professional cricketer. Or I don't know.
I mean, there's just trees in the background. So it doesn't look like
it could be him. I just don't care. I just, just anyone who wants to go report that account.
It's inappropriate. what's it? It's just loading. I don't want this. Okay, I believe this account violates. Yes. Report account. No, it doesn't say. It doesn't say this account is sending my friend death threats. There's no.
Well, you have to highlight the actual death threat for that, which I've already done, and now the message is gone. So
okay,
it's
I got
like,
through to harassment and bullying.
Okay,
so I did that.
Thank you so much, and that's called activism, guys. You've seen it in action. you know, I'm not saying message him and tell him to kill himself. Nah, definitely don't do that. two wrongs don't make a right, but. I hope he dies of natural causes. okay, let's talk about this godforsaken show. Before I end up doing it. All right. Now I've taken notes. I've taken notes on the Monday and the Tuesday. So what happened last time? So last time we had Jess and Dan. They've ended up together.
Yep. And Jess now has, I think she's burned herself on the head with a hair curler.
Something's happened there. What is that?
I think it's a burn because for a second I thought it was a bruise. And
so
I was
like,
did they kiss so much that, like, or does Dan just keep headbutting her accidentally when he goes in for a kiss or something? But I think it's a burn because it's lasted longer than a bruise.
He's so thick that he has all this momentum, so he can't stop soon quick enough and he keeps bumping into it.
Ah, sorry about that again, love. Like a truck.
There's definitely something going on there. We gotta get to the bottom of it. All the couples have to meet up with someone.
Oh my God, was this a week ago?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, okay. So they all get paired up. Of course, Jess and Mike get paired up.
Yes.
Basically, we probably don't need to talk about any of the others meeting up.
Well, I like that Martha said, I'm so happy I'm with Dan. Imagine if I got Mike or Cam. Kill me now.
Yeah, like what? Cam? Surely Cam would be fine. Or do you think Cam would just feel like he's better than her because she's a bit gossipy?
Well, also, we saw Cam talk to Michael and was like, Martha's a bit of a bitch.
Yeah.
I understand why Martha doesn't want to talk to him. I think she's probably the only one who would be like, yay, Dan.
Yeah.
Mike and Jess, after Mike just, they, you know, fighting each other at the last dinner party and him just basically being a misogynist asshole yet again. He says he's going to be nice to her and they sit down. It's going all right for a while, but then they get to back to their little fight.
Yeah.
The point of these chats is you're supposed to talk to your relationships about someone else in a different relationship and get an outside perspective, right? But they just start talking about their fight. And Mike says, I just wanted you to feel publicly held to account. And Jess goes, humiliated. And he goes, yeah, I guess you could put it that way.
Yeah.
It's like, at least he admits
yeah, I mean, he admits that he's an absolute, like, that's the most horrible thing.
Yeah.
I can't believe he would even admit to that. I can't even believe he would say that. He'd be like, no, not humiliated, just made to pay for your actions.
Well,
and everybody didn't know and feel real shit about yourself.
We're just used to him just straight up lying about his intentions the entire time. That, like, he tells the truth and we're like, oh, look at this guy admitting he's trying to humiliate this woman on national television.
Well, I don't think he cares about gaslighting Jess.
Yeah, that's true.
I think he's like, I'm not going to even do this. I want her to feel. He knows that gaslighting her, like, he knows that being truthful will make her feel worse than being gaslighted.
Anyway, he's like, basically says that he wants her to be punished for it. And she said, do you not think I've been punished enough? And she says, I think you've ducked and weaved really well. And I thought it was time I took you down a peg.
Real nice.
Like, what is wrong with you? She's a young woman. She's clearly a bit of a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
She's very short-sighted.
She's much being maneuvered by Martha, I think, as well. Like, I feel like Martha has, like, apart from, like, the producers, but also I feel like Martha kind of liked to egg her on to do bad stuff so that Martha had something to watch.
You hate Martha so much.
Well, I do think that she, like, I'm sorry, but if you encourage your friend to cheat instead of just telling them that they should be open and honest with the person that they're with.
These are unique circumstances.
I feel like
has to be honest, then she has to actually leave.
Yeah, but I feel like if she had have told Mike, I'd be like, I do, like, just at least tell him and be like, can you write leave, I write stay.
Mick.
Yeah, Mick. If she had have done that, like, he probably would have been like, all right, or whatever, and just been like going back to his home for a week and come back to the thing for the commitment ceremonies and just kept doing that for her. Like, just to be like, you know, and to maintain a friendship and stuff. Like, I feel like if she had have actually, done that and maybe, I don't know. I feel like there would have been a way to not do it the way they did it.
I don't think they would have. That wasn't just leaving the experiment. It was too early to be like, I'll just be married to you now after, what, one flirty conversation.
Yeah.
If we're talking about doing it before they actually kiss.
Oh, yeah, but I think that if Jess had have spoken to Mike, then Mick. Maybe Mick, sorry. God, why the fuck is there a Mick, Michael... And
when you talk Mike. About Mick, you say Mike. And when you talk about Mike, you say Mark.
I think maybe if Jess and Mick had have had a conversation, maybe Mick would have been fine with just playing along. As long as, obviously, Tamara didn't get hurt. So, obviously, getting Dan to tell Tamara. And if what Jess has said is true, then that Tamara was like, if you like him, go for it. Then that could have been okay. Without everybody getting fucking hurt. But I guess...
I think Tamara would have been hurt either way because Dan's an asshole.
Yeah. That is true. But
but
at least he would have told her privately and not in front of a big group and been blindsided.
Yeah, he could have told them privately.
Yeah.
That was the word. But they would have been told to do it at the commitment ceremony. Yeah. For sure. Not privately. She says... Heidi deserves better than Mike. He's very good with his words and he knows how to slither out of things. True. And then she says, this is still away from him. You're just an old man yelling at a young female. Why do even the women on this show refer to women as females? It's so weird.
Yeah, I think Mike has really had you know how some people absorb other people's language?
Yeah.
I feel like people have absorbed that Mike calls, like, men his friends and women females.
But Cyrell does the same thing.
Yeah, that is true. But I think she, I mean, I'm just going to defend her because I love her. But, like, I feel like she's had a bad experience in the past and maybe part of her does think of women as threats.
Yeah.
To relationships.
Oh, absolutely.
And so she does want to sort of, like, dehumanize the ones that aren't her friends.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. If you call men and women females, stop doing it. It's so weird.
Yeah, it's very strange.
We also have Dan talking to Martha. And I was watching this with Mark, and Dan goes, I just want someone that makes me feel good. I know that's a girly thing to say. Mark turns to me and goes, is he gay? Imagine thinking that saying that you want someone who makes you feel good is like a chick thing.
Yeah, I don't understand you would say... Like, how would you even say what you want a relationship to be if you couldn't use those words?
I think he's just used to saying, I'd fuck her. I mean, the thing he thought that was okay to say in a group setting was, your missus is fucking hot as fuck, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
That's his level of, this is okay. That's how I talk about my feelings. Like, yeah. He's the epitome of a guy, like, being taught not to talk about his feelings. Like, literally just saying, I want to be with someone who makes me feel good. And then you're like, oh, no, that's chick talk.
It's insane. I do like, he talks about all the things he likes about Jess in this scene. And it does remind me of like, my favorite movie as a child was The Swan Princess.
And I love The Swan Princess.
It's the greatest. But then like they do the thing that it's like an arranged marriage pretty much. And then they hate each other as children. And then they see each other for the first time as adults. And they are like, oh my God, I love you. And then obviously they have this like back, like they've grown up together sort of and had that like play fighty thing the whole time. And so I feel like she, now I'm going into the Swan Princess with you all. Like she goes into that and he's like, they announce the wedding at the ball. And then she's like, wait, stop. Like, why do you want to be with me? And he was like, you're all I've ever wanted. You're beautiful. And then she's like, and what else? And he's like, what else is there?
Hell yeah. Oh my God. I clearly don't remember this very well.
Because this does remind me of Dan and Jess, because he would be the same, but she would never ask the question, I don't think.
He said, what did he, yeah, because. He was she's beautiful. And Martha's like, yeah, and?
Yeah.
She's fun. She seems fun. He said something. Yeah. It was very like, I was like, fuck, someone talked this way about me.
Yeah.
The wedding bells. Yeah, he doesn't have that much to say because he's already told her he loves her now.
Yep.
Which, oh, wait, we haven't got to that part yet.
At that point, she said, she was like, do you love me? And he said,
like, wait, no, we haven't got to that part yet.
It's going that way.
It's going.
It's going that way. That's so funny. Well, it's not going towards hate, so I guess it's going towards that way.
I think he said, no, well, you're skipping ahead. People are going to, the suspense of this show is going to be ruined.
Naomi, nobody cares.
No, it's just I haven't written anything past the first two episodes, so we're just going to have to go off memory for those.
Okay.
Because I was like, yeah, I literally just take notes because I know you're not doing it. And I was like, you know what? Fuck this.
I'll take notes for Bachelor in Paradise. Don't worry. I'll get back into it.
Okay, good. Thank you. Jules, and Mark were paired up and she's basically like, why haven't you fucked Ning?
Yes.
And Ning's sitting down with, I can't remember, but she says, I feel like he's sort of paying me back.
With Michael. Because she makes a cake or something or brownies for him. Which is very sweet.
So
I love
cute.
Her.
Um, I just want to hang out with Ning and Michael. We're just a little, like, three-way friendship. Yeah, so it seems that Ning was very withholding initially, and now it's, like, flipped over to Mark.
Yep.
I guess he's, yeah, like, insecure from being rejected is at this what I assume.
Yeah, at this point we thought it was Ning rejecting Mark, and we didn't realize for the last maybe week or two or a few weeks it's been Mark rejecting Ning.
Yep.
Well, I think partly it's him wanting to reject her, and partly just being like, oh, I don't want to be told to get off her. Like,
well, yeah, like that in has the way, happened a bit.
The same way that she was like, stop kissing me, you kiss bad, get off me right now. Yeah. Like, that would be a brutal thing to take. I think he'd probably be stressed about that. But also I think he's probably stressed about their relationship and not knowing where it's gonna go after the experiment. And then also there is that, like, fear of being like, well, I don't want to sleep with her and then her feel like used or something if I am gonna not stay with her at the end of the experiment.
Yeah, I agree. Cam is with Heidi, and Cam, like, has to, like, he basically admits that Mike's a piece of shit. He's like, yeah,
we've seen what he's been doing.
But he's like, but he really likes you. And I was like, Cam, are you serious? Just shut up. Just say dump him. Like, if you really cared. That's what makes me frustrated. Like, Cam's nice, sure, but he's that type of person who wants to please everyone.
Yeah.
And in doing so, he's just trying to make everyone, like, happy on the surface, and he's not actually worried about people's genuine happiness. Not that he has to be delving into people's lives.
Yeah.
But it's just, like, you're not doing Heidi any favors by trying to encourage her to stay with Mike. And you see it. You know you don't treat Jules that way, and you know you never would. And Jules can see it too.
Yeah, Jules is like, yuck.
Yeah.
Jules is so thankful that she didn't get paired with Mike.
Oh, is she?
No, that's just what I see when I look at her looking at Mike. She's like, that would have been who I was paired with if I wasn't with Jules. Like, I think. Don't you think? Because, like, of age and stuff.
Cam?
Yeah, sorry. If Jules, yeah.
So they all finish. For some reason I've written, I can't believe Michael, I'm crying. Oh, I know what that is. So Mike and Heidi meet up after their little one-on-ones. Heidi asks, did you accept any responsibility for the argument? And Mike says, I said that it was regrettable. Fuck, why aren't...
Yeah.
Why are we even bothering at this point? And then Heidi's like, did you talk about us at all? And he's like,
no.
I can't. It didn't come up. And she's like, that was the whole point.
Yeah.
And she's like, ah. He's like, anyway.
He's like, I wouldn't have gotten anything out of her anyway. But that's not the point. And also, it's like, who's to say she wouldn't have told you exactly what Heidi's been telling you, but maybe you thought, oh, if, like, because Heidi would be telling Mike stuff when they're alone in private that the group wouldn't have heard, but they would also gauge,
yeah,
I think, about their relationship. And I feel like Jess could, like, have enough insight to be like, oh, you, like, be able to point out something. Where it's like,
she would. She's the only one who seems to see through Mike's bullshit.
Yeah.
And maybe it's because he attacked her and she's just not, like, she's, like, now she's immune to his charm.
Yeah.
But yeah, that actually would have been helpful to him for her to be like, honestly, you treat Heidi like shit.
Yeah.
Like, that's what he needs to hear.
Yeah.
He
doesn't listen to her.
No.
He doesn't take her thoughts and feelings into consideration. It's like, you know how, say, if, I don't know, just in your day-to-day life with your partner, sometimes you see things and you're like, oh, I think they might like that. You'll take a photo, send it to them or something.
Yeah.
It's like Mike would never, ever even consider doing that.
No.
He would see a thing, not even think about his partner. Like, he'd look past the thing that it's like, you'd see the thing, be like, oh, in your brain you would connect that maybe Mark would like that. Maybe you'd buy it for him or send him a picture, be like, do you want this? Whereas Mike would never even see the thing.
Yeah.
He would just keep absolutely his life.
Okay, so then they have their, like, last dates. Michael, this is why I wrote, I can't believe Michael, I'm crying. He takes Martha on a date to a cinema.
Mm-hmm.
Says he has to go to the toilet and he'll be right back. And then a movie starts playing. It's just all of Martha's family and friends talking about how much they love her.
Yeah.
That's so cute. Yeah, this guy.
Very beautiful and sweet.
He's the nicest person on the show. He's the nicest guy on the show.
Yeah.
He's the best partner.
Yeah.
Cam lost points for mansplaining. And also for being a freaking yes man to every other dude on the show and never actually... bring it up.
That's true.
Because he would tell Heidi, yeah, Mike doesn't treat you very well, but he wouldn't say it to Mike. Whereas it would be much, Mike would so much, he would listen so much better if it came from another guy.
Yeah. Well, I don't think any of them respect Michael, though, because he's worn some t-shirts Martha has chose for him and put some fake eyelashes on her. They're like, nah, he's not to be trusted now. He's gone over to the dark side.
Oh, no. He's slightly effeminate.
Somebody on the internet last night, I went on and looked at the tweets or something, and somebody last night called Michael a soy boy, which I was unaware of that term until like three weeks ago. Yeah.
Until we did Primates?
Oh, no, I'd heard Matt had talked about it. Yeah, no, actually, yes. Then, yes. I thought you were going to talk about book. I thought you were saying book cheat, but you said Primates and I just confused it in my head.
Well, I'm glad you explained it.
Thank
what
you.
A journey. Anyway, yeah, Michael does that thing for Martha. She's like, oh, my God. She almost shows emotion, which is huge for her. And then they go to, like, lunch. And Martha's like, this is going to be hard because we live in different states. And Michael's like, stop being so negative. And I'm like, she's being pragmatic here.
Yeah.
But they make it out like it's going to be some huge argument, but it's just fine. And then, Michael gives her a shell that he collected from their honeymoon. That is so cute. Like,
yeah,
that's the type of person who, like, when you first meet them is like, I'll keep something from this just in case. That's so sweet.
That's nice. The fact that he was like, you were picking out all the good shells. You had a good eye for shells. And but then I found a good one and I think you'll like it.
And then he got something engraved on the shell.
Yeah.
That's so beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, did they go? They went overseas for their holiday, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Because I think taking shells from beaches in Australia is illegal.
Is it really?
Yeah. You're not supposed to take... Well, it is in Queensland. You're not supposed to take shells off the beach.
I think that might just be a Queensland thing.
Maybe.
Otherwise, I'm a badass bitch and I've been breaking the law. Mark and Ning, their last date is in this beautiful little treehouse. Would you love it there?
Yeah. I was thinking about how much that would cost because I definitely want to go there.
I want to go there too.
I was like,
let's go together. That's what we both imagined it as, right?
Sure. Let's like have room. A spa bath together. In the beautiful...
We could do a podcast from the spa bath.
Okay.
I mean, now you're so on board.
Now it's seeming like a fun weekend where we just have some drinks and hang out in the spa bath. But also, I think I would like to do it. I'd like to do it with John.
Say it. Say you want to fuck everywhere. Just say it, Danielle.
I want to fuck everywhere.
Yeah, you little horn dog.
I do want to see if they had got a king size bed though, because if not, nowhere is worth me staying if they don't have a king size bed.
Okay, diva.
No, it's not because of me. No matter what bed I'm in, I always have the same amount of space, which is like 30 centimeters of the side of the bed.
Well, then it's fine. It doesn't matter what size bed you're in.
Yeah, I know, but then the smaller the bed though, the more I do get nudged in the middle of the night and that wakes me up. The other night, Jono, so I've told you about Grumpy Jono, haven't I?
Yes. I don't know if you said it on the pod.
Oh, okay. Grumpy Jono is Jono's sleep alter ego. and that's Jono when he's asleep. And he does ridiculous things. Like he'll get annoyed at me when I ask him to put this chin strap on I've bought him so that he stops snoring.
You bought him a chin strap.
He bought himself a chin strap and he just gets angry when I ask him to put it on.
What does it do?
It holds his mouth shut. But it does. I do worry about him dying because sometimes I'll hear it like, and he's not breathing through his nose or something. And I'll like hear it like I'll hear the noise like his nose is trying to suck in air, but it can't. And then like his mouth will pop open eventually. And I'll hear like intake of breath. but like, for example, the other night, I was watching maths on my phone, and I had the headphones in, and we both sleep with eye masks on. But we have like 17 eye masks. But his favorite's Mr. Fox, and I put. He went to bed with Mr. Fox on, and then he rolled over to me, and I was watching maths with my headphones in, and then he took off Mr. Fox and threw it in the air, and then he looked at me and he said, "That's really bright." And then I was like, "Well, put Mr. Fox back on." And he was like, "I can't find it now." And so then I handed him the pug mask, and then he put the pug mask on, and then 10 seconds later, he ripped it off and threw it in the air and said, "That's really bright." And I said, "Yeah, I've just put tooth roll over." And that was the end of it. And I thought he was awake for that, but I need to know that he's never awake for any of these things. He's just got his eyes open. And then
I feel like I've talked about this on the pod, but when Mark, like, I mean, he just like, yeah, just verbally abuses me in his sleep. But that time that I was watching something and I think he must have felt it was bright too, but he just went, "You suck." I was like, "What?" He's like, "You suck, man." What the fuck? Ow. Really hurts.
Yeah.
See, that's the problem. If you find a nice man, it just happens while they're asleep.
Yeah. And you never know. I told Jono about that last night and he thought it was so funny that he'd, that he'd ripped two face masks off and throw them in the air and complained at me.
What a little child. Is this with the chin strap on?
No, but last night I didn't make him put the chin strap on.
It really sounds like something out of 50 Shades of Grey.
I mean, not really. It's made out of, I think, the same material that wetsuits are made out of. And it's bright blue.
Mm. that's quite a visual. Anyway, they're in this beautiful treehouse. It's like literally built off of a tree.
Yeah, it's lovely.
There's a tree in the middle of it. Oh, it's beautiful. They're like in a forest. Ning wants to fuck. She's trying to get to fuck. Mark doesn't fuck her.
You'd be so annoyed if you didn't get to fuck in that treehouse.
Mm. What a waste.
I know.
I can't wait to go there with you. It's where we finally take our relationship to the next level. And, yeah, it's like he says he doesn't want to complicate it, which to me makes it clear that he's going to leave her.
Yeah.
Because he's like, "We haven't slept together yet. I don't want to just, like, hurt him more if I'm going to leave."
Yeah, I think – and I don't think that he was like, "I'm definitely going to leave," but I think he knew that there was probably, like, a high likelihood.
Yeah.
That he was going to leave.
Okay, so Heidi was pissed. Oh, here we go. Heidi and Mike have their last date. It's like comical at this point. Like, you can't be.
Yeah, this is absolutely fucked.
Okay, so it's their last date. Mike's organizing it, and he, they go on this old boat,
a tall ship.
A what?
A tall ship.
Yeah, sure. It's got some fucking... It's the type of ship that people would build inside a bottle. That's fair to say.
Yes.
And then Heidi's like, "I don't like being on boats." And then they show flashbacks of literally her on camera to when they're on a boat. Her being like, "I don't like being here. I feel sick and I feel like I'm trapped."
Yeah.
So, of course... He has their date on a boat. And it looks cold. They're just sitting there under a blanket. I would fucking hate this date.
Yeah, I don't understand. Because the thing is, like, it's not even a romantic thing. Like,
no.
There's no, like, nice food and stuff around them. There's no, like, nice area. There's a crew on board. Like, who aren't, like, apart from the camera crew that are always there, there's also now a tall ship crew. So now you're on a solo date with, like, 26 people, which is ridiculous. And Mike, they're not, like, Mike's in, like, the most dad outfit of all time. Like, I'm sorry, but I've never wanted to fuck anybody less than what Mike is wearing right there.
I don't remember what he was wearing. I try not to look at him.
Mm.
So there's like a crow's nest, a big thing at the top that you can climb up. Heidi
doesn't like heights nor boats, And this really combines two of her least favorite things. And Mike is like, come on, you're going to bloody love it up there.
Yeah, and he says, I know, I'm paraphrasing, something like, I know that Heidi, like, doesn't really like that stuff, but, you know, maybe then she'll rely on me. And it's like, oh, so you want her to feel unsafe so that you are her safety.
Yeah.
Which is gross. Just like maybe if you want her to feel safe instead of like trying to feel like a big fucking man, making her feel safe, maybe just don't put her on like a little tower atop a boat.
Yeah, I didn't understand this. He was like, and it'll really build some trust. And I was like, I turned to John and I was like, there are other ways to build trust. And he was like, yeah, we've built trust in our relationship and neither of us ever did any sort of height climbing, supporting each other over a tightrope type situation.
It's very Bachelor, actually.
Yeah.
Like, it really brought us together how I was fucking terrified and he was near me at the time. That's the point of it. Obviously, she says no because she's sane. And then he's just, like, so many shots of him climbing up the crow's nest alone and her just sitting there sad on the boat, and he goes, she's comfortable up front, she's enjoying it, and that's fine. And then it's just so many shots of him just going, woo! Like, you just know the producers were like,
do it again.
All right, so just do a woo, let us know you're having fun up there, Mike. And he's just, woo! For so long he was just saying woo, and they just had
one more.
They just had so many, like, drone shots of him up on the crow's nest. Woo! Just the whole time she's just sitting there just cold under a blanket and
hating
sad.
It.
What a fucking idiot. So we get to, they finally get off the boat and she's like, I hated that. And he's like, I didn't realize that she wasn't having a good time. That's astounding to me.
Yeah, I was like, oh, he is a psychopath because he can't read emotions whatsoever at all.
Yeah, she was just sullen the entire time. Like, she's, oh, God. So then they're talking. He's like, I feel like I'm rational. And she sort of laughs and he's like, you don't think I'm mostly rational? And she's like, no. And he's like astounded by this. She says, I feel like sometimes, like, we're watching a movie and, like, I feel like it's Terminator 2 and you think it's Care Bears. And you're like, oh, how good's Care Bears? And I'm like, this is Terminator 2, which is a good way to describe it.
Yeah, I thought that was a really good way to show that they can experience life in different ways.
Yeah.
But Mike doesn't seem to think that people can experience life in different ways.
Yeah. He just always thinks he's right.
Are you okay, Naomi?
Oh, it's just so frustrating. I just feel like we're saying all the same things every time because this man is incapable of growth. Like, I can't believe he hasn't learnt. And he literally says, I can't be doing anything more than I'm doing. This is as good as it gets.
Well, he's doing the bare minimum. He's doing nothing. He's doing worse than the bare minimum.
Right? You didn't even think what would be a good date. Mark, we were watching this and Mark was like, what do you think would be a good date for me? So we were trying to come up with dates for each other.
Yeah.
So I said that his date, I would take him to like, to like Time Zone or something with like unlimited tickets. And he could just play whatever he wanted. And then I can't remember what else. I can't remember. Anyway, he was like, it was really, he really loved it.
Yeah.
Okay. Now I can't remember what it was.
Mine would be, I tried to do this, but it didn't work. So I would do a different one. So I would try and find, because Jenna really likes stars and space. So I'd try and find like one of those like black areas where like it's black, super black and dark at night, perfect for watching stars.
Oh, that's
and
nice.
Then I'd set up some sort of tent situation where it was see-through to the outside so that the bugs couldn't get in because he's scared of bugs. And then I'd set up his favorite like spread of food inside. So I'd get him a milkshake maybe and he likes pizza. And then that's his favorite food because he's a teenage boy. And then
milkshakes and pizza.
And then, well, this is his perfect date, not my perfect date.
Yeah, no, sure.
And then maybe in the morning, what would we do?
It's so funny because I remembered what I said. We'd do after time zone, and it was we'd go to like a really fancy Italian restaurant. and your version of that is pizza and milkshakes.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, oh, maybe that's what we do. Maybe in the morning we go to a cooking class or something together because he loves
that's
doing
cute.
That stuff. That'd be good. But yeah, if he was out, he'd like to watch the stars out in there, but not bugs. Because I told you we tried to like I got a car and we drove up to this area that said it was good for stargazing, as like a treat for him. Oh my god.
What is
okay,
that?
I'm going to shut the window.
I feel like it's happening in the hallway. I feel like it's definitely happening in the hallway. We have a leaf blower in the stairwell. I don't know why for a second I trusted you that it was coming from outside the window. And then I was like, it's definitely coming from
yeah,
in the
I'm
hallway.
Definitely.
And then I remembered, yeah, but your hearing sucks.
Yeah.
Should we just assume that I think it's getting further away. He's making his way down the stairs.
Yeah, he's going down the stairs. Yeah, I tried to take him stargazing and we went up to the top of the mountain and the sunset was taking so long.
And like you're supposed to enjoy the sunset.
Yeah, I know, but there's a certain point where the sun's gone down but it's still like light for ages still because like it just – I guess the sun has to go further around the world or something. And it was so light for ages, but then there were so many bugs around. And I'm fine with bugs, but Jono was shitting himself. At one point, I swear he was close to tears. and I was like, this is a nice date. and then, yeah, the stars didn't really ever come out. I think it was still too close to the city.
Brutal.
So, yeah, it was a good – but he said that now looking back, he's like – because he wanted to go so many times. And I was like, no, just stay. We'll wait for the stars. And the stars never came out. And he was just dealing with his pure terror of bugs. But he told me after he was like, no, I actually think that I liked that because I need to be pushed with that fear that I have of bugs. And I was like, okay.
And that fear brought you closer together.
Yeah, it did. Well, I mean, not really because I was kind of like, that is a fly. How are you scared of a fly?
All right, leaf blower's out here now. I'm just going to assume that it's fine. Neither of us are wearing headphones, so. Oh, my God. He says, what more do you need? What can I do? Take her somewhere that's not a fucking boat, man.
Yeah.
Have you not learned anything about her?
What would you think for Heidi? For Heidi,
he'd
would
probably
think...
take her to an orphanage and be like, remember when you didn't have parents?
That's what he'd do. I think I would take Heidi to maybe like the zoo and have like an animal experience or something. Like I'd maybe we go swim with the dolphins or something. I feel like she'd like that.
That's cute.
And then I mean I'm just basing that off her hair as well. But she also lives in Byron and stuff, so I feel like she likes
what
animals.
What do you mean her hair?
She looks like she's got like that like you know that lady who swam in the water in that kids' TV show?
That's what I was like, do you think she's a mermaid because of her hair?
Sort of, yeah. yeah, I think she'd like to swim with the dolphins. And then maybe she's vegetarian, so maybe we would go to like a nice...
Is she vegetarian?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. But I could also be basing that off her hair.
What do you think she can say? She eats like algae or something.
Yeah, I think I might be basing everything off her hair. No, yeah, all right. I think I might have done that. But still, I still reckon she'd rather go... I still reckon my date's better. What would you plan for Heidi?
Oh, anything other than a fucking tall ship.
Yeah, I don't even understand why a tall ship would factor into anybody's date. It's because it's Mike's dream and he spent the whole budget on a fucking tall ship.
Yeah.
That's why they didn't even have a budget for any strawberries.
Maybe she might even like if you went like... I'm just thinking of The Bachelor. Those, like, dates where you get, like, really dressed up and there's, like, a ball gown for you.
Yeah.
And, like, I feel like she'd, like, I wouldn't like that. But, like, I'd like to dress up pretty but not, like, stand in a room and dance alone. But I feel like because, like, she wants that from Mike. She wants, like, the romance that she would fucking love that.
Yeah, because I thought Cam and Jules' date was kind of probably the thing that I would... I mean, I'd hate that... I think I'd... dislike the tall ship. No, I think I'd actually personally I think I would prefer the tall ship because I'm not scared of ships to Cam and Jules's date, just because they were just sitting in the park where they got they're married, done, and it was all nice and stuff. But then there was those two girls who came over and started just playing the violin and singing.
Oh, God, I would hate that so much.
Yeah.
They do that on The Bachelor as well all the time, and you just have to sit there while they look at you. And you're just like, yeah, and you can't look away. Because whenever I go to see a comedy show, like, it's fine when you're on stage. You make eye contact with people and it feels fine. But whenever I've actually been in the audience and some, like, the person on stage looks at me and starts talking to me, even though I love attention, I freak out.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Like, someone performing at you and you just have to keep looking at them. Like, I just automatically look at the ground because I'm like, this is too intimate. And I feel really fucking uncomfortable. And imagine if they were serenading. Like, that's when they're telling jokes. Imagine if they were serenading you.
I know. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Okay. And I won't look at you when you come to my comedy show.
Garfunkel and Oates have a song about that.
They?
Yeah, about, like, where do you look when someone's trying to serenade you? It's very funny because it's like, oh, I don't want to look at you, but.
Yeah.
Also, I can play guitar better than you. That's funny. Funny girls. All right. Yep. I don't know. The last thing I've written about this episode is you don't know how it makes a man feel to see his wife crying because of him. Do you know how much it upsets me to see you upset because of me?
Yeah, well, maybe consider her feelings first.
Yeah.
Just do things to, like... It's very easy, Mike, to not make somebody cry.
Yes.
All you've got to do is show a basic level of respect for them and maybe get to know them a bit. I reckon for the last few weeks you probably knew that this date was coming up because you probably had to book stuff out in advance.
Yeah.
Maybe you could have asked her a few things that she liked. And maybe you could have taken her to that restaurant that you couldn't get food for from her that time.
It was definitely sumo salad or something like that. Yeah. Anyway, they're on the rocks again. Oh, God.
It'll be fine. Just keep talking. Everybody, I'm sorry about the leaf blower, but we're under a limited time constraint.
Okay, we get to the fucking whatever. All right, we're at the dinner party the next day. I don't have any notes now, so we just go off memory. They have their last dinner party. Okay. There's five couples left. Dan and Jess do a speech at the dinner table, and they're like, thanks for accepting us as a couple. Even though people don't seem to really like them being there.
No, people are upset that they're there, except Ning's for Martha.
Ning's pissed. Yeah, Martha doesn't care.
Yeah.
And then also, of course, Michael, because of Martha. Right, before the dinner party, I didn't even watch this part. I just saw a flashback. Heidi apologized to Mike for being difficult.
Well, see, that didn't really, it wasn't, she didn't apologize for being difficult. She apologized for, she was like, I'm sorry yesterday, I should have been more like, I shouldn't have been so sullen and I shouldn't have been so upset by the date. But, like, Mike took that to mean that she was sorry for everything that for every time she'd been sullen in the entire relationship.
Right.
And that she had been the only issue in the relationship. We come to find out that's what he took it to mean. And that is not what Heidi meant it to mean.
Right. So, yeah, Mike seems to think if one person apologizes, it means they accept full responsibility and liability for every bad thing that has ever happened.
Yes.
So that's what he takes that as. I mean, he's apologized a few times at this point. I was trying to think. I think he actually has, but that's after, like, hours of pushing. And then, like, he brings it up in front of Cam and Jules. And you can see Jules is, like, she's fucking done with Mike, hey?
Yeah, Jules is like, that is not why you... Because it's almost like he's showboating.
Well, yeah, he says, Heidi, apologize. Like, this is before... Like, while Heidi's somewhere else, this is the start of the dinner party. He's like, oh, well, Heidi admitted that, yeah, basically everything's her fault. And so that was great that she apologized for all that. And Jules is like, well, I don't think I should be here because Heidi, I'd rather hear it from her. And then Mike's like, oh, well...
She'd be fine with me.
She'd be fine with this. I think it's fine. And then you can see him sort of running through his head and being like, is this not fine? I did
the thing again.
So then they sit down and they have a discussion about it later, and Mike's basically explaining it, being like, well, yes, Heidi, you know, you apologize. I was just telling them how you apologized for everything and how everything was your fault. And she's like,
What? No.
She's like, do you not think you've done anything wrong? And he's like, very little. Are you serious, cunt? And she's like, good God.
See, what Heidi's apologizing for is sometimes she's been a bit upset at your behavior. And she was apologizing for sometimes being a little bit upset.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike, what you have to apologize for is making her constantly upset.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. And so I can't even remember what happens. She's just like, fuck this. I think this is the episode. I keep forgetting Married at First Sight is on. And it's like Bliss. And this is when I was like, really not. This is when my anxiety was starting to get real bad. And I just forgotten about it. And then someone tweeted at me. I can't remember their name. Shelster or something. They were like, oh, Naomi, are you doing okay with this episode? Because it was more of Mike's bullshit. And I was like, oh, I didn't know. So I remember I turned it on and I started making some soup. And then I turned it off. I was like, I don't need this. And then 10 minutes later, I was like, ah, I'll turn it back. Didn't last very long because for some reason, I still want to watch it. So I kind of missed a bit of it. But I know Mike, he was just... I can't believe, but Jules started to get pissed at Mike at this point, right? Yeah. I can't remember. What was she saying?
I think she was just like, but don't you think you need to accept some of the responsibility?
Yeah.
Do you not think it's like a two-way street, that type of thing? I think that's like the vein of what she was saying. She was trying to reason with him.
Yeah. She was like, but I feel like she was like, we've seen you.
Yeah.
We've seen it.
Yeah.
I feel like she said that. And I was like, yes, Jules. Yes. And yeah, he was basically just astounded. And then he cracked it and left the room because Heidi. And she wasn't even. This is another thing where he'd be like, oh, Heidi's too sensitive. When Heidi was just very matter of fact, like, I'm not taking responsibility for everything. Is that what you thought was happening?
Yeah.
And then he cracks it and leaves the room. But I'm sure he would not describe that as being emotional. I'm sure he'd describe that as being rational.
Yeah.
Rationally, I needed to have a fucking tantrum.
I hate when people use rational as like a thing because they think that then when they compare rational to emotional, they're not saying rational to emotional, they're saying rational to irrational.
Yeah.
And I hate that because you can be emotional and rational.
Well, yeah, and emotions are rational.
Yeah, I don't understand why he always is. Yeah, it frustrates me.
Mm.
Every time when he uses the word rational, I'm like, you absolute son of a bitch.
Yeah.
No, you're it's not rational subtle. In any way at all. A rational person wouldn't use all the towels in a house.
You're right. That is irrational.
A rational person wouldn't go out knowing that they had to buy dinner for themselves and their partners and then just come home with dinner for themselves.
No.
Those things don't make sense.
They're insane.
Yeah.
Once I was on the phone to my dad and I was talking about how I was putting a desk together from IKEA. Have I told you this story?
No.
And he was like, I was like, oh yeah, I did it all by myself because I'd never put together anything from IKEA. I just heard it was hard. And in hindsight, I was like, it's fine. Just follow the instructions. So I was like, yeah, I did it by myself. And then he was like, oh, I can never understand those instructions. I reckon they must be written by women.
Okay.
And I was like, what? Because something that people should know is that the people who write the instructions for IKEA are the like highest paid engineers in the world.
Yeah.
Because you have to make them so understandable.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm sure some of them are women. but I was like, what are you talking about? I was like, I could do. What do you mean? And he's like, oh, you know, I just think men are more logical than women, which is like, okay, I'm a woman, you're a man. I'm the one who was able to follow instructions and you're not. But you're anyway, and he's like, I think I could, if you and I sat down at a logic test, I think I'd win. This is a man.
Oh my God, your dad is Mike.
No, he's not as calculated as that. He's just dumb. But it's like, you know, I have an engineering degree, right? Like, that's literally a degree in, like, problem solving, which is, like, I'm very good. I've literally done a subject called logic, like, and, like, several of them as well. It's just astounding to me that, like, it's just, like, clearly an old cultural attitude because, like, there's just no way. Once I taught my dad how to find the area of a triangle just so that he would, like, understand something to do with maths, and he's like, oh, so that's what you're learning at the moment. In my head, I was like,
no, I learned that in high school.
Well, this is in high school, and okay. In my head I was like, I learned this in primary school, but yeah. I was like, yeah. Like, it was, like, he left school in year 7, which isn't, like, a defining thing of, like, whether you have good logic skills or not, but I was like, oh, come on, Dad. Like,
yeah.
You paint lines on the road for a living. Like, come on. Like, you're not a fucking chess genius. Like,
yeah, that's insane.
There's just absolutely no way that he would beat me in that type of test. And just for him to assume that. And again, this conversation started because I'm able to follow instructions and he isn't. It was just crazy to me.
Yeah, but this is why so many, like, I feel like so many men think that they're better than women. It's like they don't even have anything. They have nothing to prove that their intelligence is higher than a woman's, but the woman will have so much stuff to prove that she's, like, intelligent, just like the way she talks will be, like.
But yeah, don't use an upward inflection because that means you're a dumb bitch.
Yeah. And then he will be like, no, I'm still, I know that I'm, like, I feel like.
I know I'm logical because she cried when her dog died and I know that it's a dog that's dead and you don't feel anything.
Do you think that's just a man thing to think that they are smarter than everybody, though? Is it just women, or is it just because we see that, or is it all men think that they're smarter than everybody else, including other men? Because I've met a few men who, okay, they called themselves, they've mentioned their high IQ or called themselves geniuses.
No.
And I've been like, okay.
I do think that, like, dudes sometimes feel they have to prove themselves, but it's not all dudes, but it's a lot of them that they'll be like, yeah, I'm the one who can sort this out. Yeah, give me the cords. I can plug this together. It's like, we can just Google it, man. Like, yeah. It's fine.
I mean, I'm bad with technology, though, so plugging in cords I would hand off to somebody else.
Danielle, you don't even try, though.
No, I do. Last night, no. Jono was so proud of me. Do you know what I did last night? I was trying.
What, you plugged in a HDMI cord?
No, I... The PlayStation remote ran out of battery.
Yeah.
And I couldn't find the cord for it. And then I saw Jono's Xbox cord was plugged into his Xbox controller. So I unplugged the cord from the Xbox controller and thought to unplug it out of the back of the Xbox and plug it into the PlayStation. And Jono was actually astounded by that.
See, what I hear is you perpetuating that women are dumb being proud that you unplugged a cord and plugged it in somewhere.
No, he knows
else.
That I'm very smart. He just knows that I'm bad with technology and I hate it and I get frustrated.
I feel like this is a perfect example because I just feel like it's something that you are now just like every time you see it, you're like, I'm bad at this, and you don't even try.
No, I do. Try.
Because I showed you your program and you were like, I don't know what to do at this point. And it was a box that said, do this. And then you just click OK. And you were, I was like, did you read that? And you were like, no, I just clicked OK.
Yeah, but I get stressed out about that stuff.
Yeah, but I'm just saying it's a good example of when women more often than men just assume they're bad at something and give up.
But I don't see. I don't
it's
see.
It's fine. You don't have to
I
be good at it.
I don't see the value in it. So I don't care about it.
Well, that's true. There'll always be a man around who's like, oh, I can fix this computer. But but like that's like one big thing that actually keeps women down is that girls are actually better at maths than boys up until the age of about 5. And then that's when girls start to, if they don't have a natural tendency for it, they give up way easier than boys because they just assume girls aren't supposed to be good at maths like boys are. I'm not good at this immediately. Therefore, this is just not for me. And then they just give up.
Yeah, I think I have too many things that I am, like, continually working on that I'm just like that one. I'm like, I've got too much stuff. I'm not investing extra time into that. I don't like.
I mean, it's fine. I mean, your computer literacy is insane to me, but illiteracy, but it's fine. But like that is, I'm just saying it's mostly unrelated, but it's like women will just give up easier. Whereas a guy who probably started off worse at computers than you, maybe because of ego or whatever, would like stick at it.
Yeah. But I don't care. Because I don't use it ever.
That's not true.
What? No. I have to record a podcast. I press the record button. Then I get you to
and if sometimes it fucks up.
And then that's all I need. I've taught myself how to use the programs that I need to use, like Illustrator. And then that's it. That's all I need to do.
Anyway.
PowerPoint, that's it.
Point is, women tend to give up on things that are like boy things, and that's why heaps of girls drop out of maths, because like it's statistically boys who are like worse at maths than girls, the girl will give up but the boy won't, because they just assume. And I saw that in my engineering degree as well, because all the girls were, we were a minority because we were people who were naturally good at it.
Yeah.
So our marks were higher. But then you'd have a lot of guys and they'd be like the whole spectrum. And then I'd, like some of the guys, I'd be like, why the fuck are you doing engineering? You suck ass at this. Anyway, that's just a fun tidbit. Now what?
Now we've got what? So that was dates?
So we're at the dinner party.
Wait, did we do? Yeah, we did all the dates. Yeah, so we're at the dinner party.
What else is happening? They have to answer.
Questions. What are they called? The love box questions that they did in their honeymoons.
Yeah. What happened with Heidi and Mike? Did that resolve itself?
No.
Cool. They get more honesty questions, which we saw at the start of the show. So they get these questions, honesty box, and it's clearly questions that have been written for them. I can't really remember many of the questions. I remember Jess, they ask some questions and then it's like you have free reign, and then Dan's like, how do you feel about me or something? And Jess says, I love you, which is like after a week.
That is very full on, but also it just clearly shows Jess doesn't know what love is, I think.
Absolutely, because
I don't think she's been in love at all.
Dan could very much be just like a tall pile of bricks and you wouldn't know the difference, because he barely says anything.
Yeah.
And it's like, she's like, I love you because you're so fun. And I'm like, and it's like, you're so, she says things about his personality and I'm like, what personality?
Yeah.
I've not seen a personality come out of this man at any point.
No.
Like, what has he said? Name one opinion he has apart from, Your missus is fucking hot as fuck.
I'm just trying to be respectful of Tam. He said that. He said,
while kissing a girl behind her back.
I just want to, I want to have a good relationship example for the little guy.
Now, I'm not gay. imagine if he ever, like, cried on camera.
Oh, man.
He's, like, so caught up in what people think of him, I think.
Yeah.
Because remember, he only, like, had sex with Tamara because I think he was worried that people would think that he was
not,
again, like, not manly enough.
Not enough of a man to make her fuck him.
I can't comprehend why. And then she asks her question and then it's like, and then you get a free question and she says, do you love me?
Which but is like in such like a.
So she said, I love you. And he said, that's nice.
Yeah.
So that would be my cue to not push it.
Yeah.
Because holy shit, that's brutal.
That's nice is, full on.
That's nice is very much I don't love you back. Anyway, and then she decides to just go, do you love me? Dan, who I think is just terrified of confrontation, just goes, I think so,
And he takes a while to respond.
Yeah. And says, I think so. And then she goes, you think so or you do? And then he goes, yeah, I do.
I love you.
Yeah, I love you. No, he doesn't. Not at all.
No, and Jess, you know he doesn't.
And I'm so, Jess, there's no way you love this man.
No.
The reason that he was drawn to you is because you were undoing your top the entire time and telling him, watch out for me, I'm trouble. that's my impression of flirting. And it's just good God. I can't remember any of the other questions. They don't matter
Cam
to me.
Cam and Jules, I think Jules asks Cam or Cam asks Jules, are you worried this is moving too fast? To which they respond, no. it is a weird thing, but also they feel like it's right. I think, who else is there in the experiment? Ning and Mark. Oh, Martha and Michael, they worry about whether they, what's going to happen with the move.
Yeah.
And I think the answer is they'll figure it out, which means Michael will have to compromise. Well, yes. Michael will have to just do whatever Martha wants.
Yep.
So that's one way. Sorry, I don't like. Okay, so I understand loving a city, right?
Yeah.
Because I love Melbourne. It's my favorite place I've ever lived. But So what I don't understand is, so they both have careers, right? Martha has a career in Sydney, I think, as like a real estate. What she is that? What she does? I don't know what she
makeup
does.
Makeup artist, I thought.
Oh, makeup artist. What the fuck? That is absolutely a movable career. And the other one is Michael, and he works at a school in Melbourne. But also, both Martha and Michael's parents, all family lives in Melbourne.
Yeah.
So this one I sort of struggle with because I don't understand making Michael move to Sydney when, like, all the things are in Melbourne.
Well, I just understand. I kind of understand it because she's actually lived in both places and she seems to really fucking hate Melbourne. For whatever reason, she doesn't want to be there. And it seems like she's, like, literally, like, whenever she's there, she just feels like she's suffocating. There's something about Melbourne that she can't fucking stand.
I think it's probably just the family aspect, though. I think it's just too much family stuff, which I think would be resolved by just moving to the other side of Melbourne from where her family live. Or just, like, putting up boundaries and being like, listen, we catch up once a month or something like that, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I just kind of understand it.
Yeah.
If you just, maybe that's because of my close friend and co-creator Hum, you know Hum.
Yeah.
She hates Melbourne so much.
Why?
I don't know, because she's a bitch. She'll just literally, like, it'll be like a beautiful day in Melbourne and she'll just find some trash on the ground and take a picture of it and post it on Instagram and she goes, oh wow, world's most livable city. I'm like, God, you're a little cunt. But I've just seen what happens to her mental health when she comes to Melbourne.
Why is Sydney so good for her?
She's just biased. I don't know what it is, okay. But it's like she actually, like, the town, the city she is in really affects her. Okay. So I can kind of see that. I mean, I can't say that Hum is that dissimilar to Martha in terms of, I'm basically the Michael in that situation. I'm like, whatever you want. but yeah, I can see that it, like, genuinely affects her. But then again, everything that she knows is in Sydney. It's not like she grew up in Melbourne or something. But I kind of understand it. If, like, a city just, like, you just fucking hate it, then I can understand. Like, you already made a choice to leave everything you had to start a new life.
Yeah.
You might not want to go back.
Yeah. It also seems Michael has a mortgage here.
Yeah.
I don't know. I would just be like, maybe you could come down for 6 months or something, or 3 months, and just try it out.
Yeah. But she won't. No. Okay, so then we have the family that everyone leaves and they have to make a decision. So, but at this point, we've seen 4 of the 5.
Yeah.
They have to renew their vows and basically decide if they're going to stay together or not. So the first one we have is Jules and Cam.
Yep.
And they're basically deciding whether Cam's going to propose.
Yes, they're not deciding whether they're both leaving or staying. They're both staying. Yeah. Yeah.
And then, I mean, I'm sure we're going to speed through this because this is the most boring fucking shit to watch on TV ever. Like, they've stretched it out so much. That's why I'm so frustrated that there's still more episodes to go, because they could have put it, like, spread across 3 episodes. That's, come on.
Yeah.
It's just an hour of them being like, shouldn't I?
Yeah.
Good God. Anyway. Cam does propose, if I've got that correctly, because I did start falling asleep.
You know, he does propose, which is, I mean, I feel like he had a lot of pressure on him to do that.
Yes.
And he didn't want to disappoint.
Well, at this point, Jules. It's like commit or get out, basically. Yeah. Because
Cam and Jules, like, Jules wants to have a baby pretty much within the next 12 months.
Yeah.
And she said at the end of this episode she wants to be married before she has children.
Yeah.
That really puts a timeline on things.
It really does. You've got like 3 months to get married before you get pregnant.
Yes, or is maybe Allie 5 months from The Bachelor in Jules's body?
Well, Jules, I feel like, is in a better place to have babies than Allie.
Yeah, defs.
Is that true, though?
What?
Are they the same age, kind
of? I think so. I think Allie's like 36, Jules, isn't she?
Is she really? Jules just seems older.
Oh, no, I think Allie wanted to have kids by 36 or something and is 33.
Right.
But also, that just could be, like, because of, like, fillers and stuff. Because, like, Jules hasn't had, like, I don't think Jules has had, like, fillers and stuff. So, I think her face looks more, like, aged.
Yeah.
Just because that's what will happen, I guess, if you don't put fillers in your face and stuff.
Hear that, ladies? Anyway.
I think she is the most beautiful woman in the whole world, though.
Jules?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, she's stunning.
How do I spell, I'm just trying to look up Allie from The Bachelor. How do I spell her name?
A-L-I. Fuck, there's so much news we have to go through that we have not touched on.
I'm sorry.
Are you sorry?
No.
Okay. All right. Let's just speed through these. So then we did, Cam and Jules. Cam proposed. So yeah. I'm sure we'll find out at the reunion how that's going. Then the other couple then were Jess and Dan.
Yeah.
They were like, they ended up together.
Yeah, I have no idea how the fuck that happened.
Yeah, they're just like, I love you too. I was like, you don't love each other. Also, he's going to jail. And then last night we watched, we had Martha and Michael. Michael's like, I'm going to put it all on the table. And were you happy about this, Danielle?
No.
Were you happy about what he said, though? I thought you'd be happy that, so Martha was like, yeah, I'm falling in love with you, which is nice from her. And I know that we still don't know where we're going to live, but we'll figure it out. And I'm falling in love with you. And then Michael's like, basically went on this like.
He did call her out for being like, we just do what you want to do. There's no compromise.
Yeah. I felt insecure that I wasn't good enough because you wouldn't let me in.
Yeah.
It's like, you got to say this stuff earlier, not at your vow renewal.
Yeah. I was glad that he said all that. But then at the end when he said, and I'm happy to move to Bondi for you, I was like, you just undermined yourself. There's part of me that is so like, I love Melbourne so much though that I just like am like, don't move away. You'll hate it if you move away. You can't bring her back here. You can't move away. You'll be so upset if you move.
I don't know. It's getting colder. So I'm kind of like, Sydney looks pretty fucking good.
Sydney gets cold too though.
Not as cold.
I just don't like Sydney. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I'm the opposite of them.
I think it's nice. It's just different.
I just hate, it's so hard to get around. Like, the fucking harbour in the middle of it makes everything so hard. I'm sorry. I don't want to catch a bus, a train, and a ferry to get everywhere. That's crazy.
Melbourne does make more sense. It's true. Anyway, okay, yeah, so they end up together. Michael's going to move to Bondi to be with Martha. Whether that actually happens is anyone's guess. Because, like, didn't someone say only one of the couples ends up together in the end anyway? I feel like that's what Lauren said. Remember Lauren?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we all know who that is.
Yeah.
Surely.
Yeah, it's got to be Jules and Cam. But they might be wrong. They might be more. And then we had Mark and Ning. And oh my god, this was brutal.
Yeah.
So, first of all, you have a shot early on in the piece of Mark just sitting in his shitty little bachelor pad.
How does he have, so Mark has
microwaved pasta.
Yeah, and it's not even
out
like,
of like a like meal for one container. You can't make your own, even I make my own pasta.
I mean, the thing that annoys me the most about that is it's not even like a nice expensive frozen pasta. It's like a $2 one that has no flavoring on it at all.
Oh,
it's just like
pathetic.
Got cheese on pasta. It's like, no.
Looks so sad.
The only thing he has in his apartment is he has one fork and 4,000 DVDs. Did you notice the DVDs in the background?
Yes.
I was like, "What? Who is this? Dad, why have you got so many DVDs?
It's just a shot of him looking sad, watching a DVD on the couch.
Oh, my God.
So we get to the end. Ning's like, "I want to be with you," says her vows. And then Mark's like, "Yeah, I came on here to find love. I haven't found love with you," which is heart-wrenching to watch, I have to say.
But that also
was fucking brutal.
Him saying, "I haven't found love with you," reminded me of when Jess said, "I haven't found love with you," to Mick. And then I was like, oh, my God. Have we been having a secret other affair?
It's him and Heidi.
Yeah, I thought it was him and Heidi for a second.
That's funny. It reminded me of the honey badger saying, "I haven't found love with you." And I was like, oh, like the honey badger, you're just incapable of love. Yeah. yeah, but it was, and then Ning just cracked it. And I was like, yeah, good. She was like, this is fucking bullshit. She's like, why did you do this? Why'd you keep writing stay if you were just going to do this? And then Mark is basically like, I didn't know that Ning was going to, I thought Ning was going to leave. So what? Did you only, were you only going to leave Ning because you thought she was going to leave you? And you didn't want to be humiliated? And then in the process, you've humiliated someone who really cared about you and who you really cared about?
Yeah.
That, like, it seemed like he was like, oh, I didn't know. Like, that if he knew that she was going to do that, he might have stayed.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he... Yeah, I think he thought she was going to write leave and then he didn't want to have to say stay after because they always make the ladies do the vows first.
Do they?
Yeah, in every single one, the lady's done the vows first.
I think that's just because in those, whether the man is going to leave or stay has had the most suspense.
Yeah.
I think that's just a coincidence. Or maybe that's just something about men are more likely to leave. Yeah. but I just, yeah, I, what was I going to say? I don't know anymore. I'm just hoping I'll find it and you're giving me nothing.
He decided to not stay with her. I did get annoyed with Ning for not listening to everything he had to say.
Oh, this is what I got pissed off about.
What?
Is that he was like, he said, "I haven't found love with you." When you're breaking up with someone, you don't blame them.
Yeah.
That really pissed me off because he was like, well, you didn't do enough.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
like she's the one saying right now in a fucking white dress, "I want to be with you." You can't at this point be like, "You didn't give me enough." Just that's so brutal because she's giving it to you right there. Even if you think that in the past, don't say it there while she's fucking standing there. Like,
yeah, I mean, so I do brutal. Think the producers probably had a hand in writing the vows because none of them seemed particularly heartfelt or personal. You know.
Yeah.
So I think that probably played a part in it. But, yeah, I just thought that all the vows were boring. And I would have liked to have heard the rest of what he said because she just, like, told him to stop. And I was like, oh, he would have done a compliment sandwich. Wait for the end so you get the end of the... Wait for the end.
You don't want to hear a compliment from someone who's just said, "I don't want to be near you anymore."
Yeah, but, I mean, maybe.
I would just...
I'll love a compliment.
Once the, like... Once the twist of the, like, once the knife goes in, I don't want to hear, I wouldn't, once someone's like, "I don't want to be with you," I wouldn't want to hear why.
I do.
I'd be like,
what,
like,
can I work on for next time?
No. No, I'd be like, Ning, I'd be like, fuck off. Anyway, she was like, "Why don't you just leave in week 3? Like, what are you doing? Why would you do this?" Because up until, like, Ning was trying to fucking get some intimacy going and he was like pulling back. Like, that's what happened in the end. Like,
yeah, well, I think that would be hard because I think he wasn't sure because of how hard it's been with her. And he's also had a really nice, he's had lovely times with her, but then also there are those times where he would feel like, I don't know if I can be with this person forever. This is like a super heaps. But then other times where he does want to be with her and then he does like respect her and really like her. So he probably wouldn't want to sleep with her just out of, like, worrying that she would feel used after.
I suppose.
I don't think...
But I just didn't like the blaming her because that wasn't part of the vows. She was like, "Are you serious?" And he's like, "Well, it's your fault." And it's like, You're breaking up with her. Don't make her feel worse about it. Like, I just hate that. It's not her. It's her fault. It's your fault.
I mean, to be fair, if he had have heard those things a few weeks ago, he probably would have felt more comfortable. I think it was just he wasn't sure where he stood with her. So I don't think it was like I don't think he was trying to blame her. I think he was trying to sort of explain that maybe in the future she should tell people how she feels, because if not, you don't know where you stand with people. Like, I know if somebody doesn't tell me how they feel, then I sort of feel a bit gaslighted, because I'm not sure if the way I'm feeling is responding to them. Like, I'm not sure. Like, I feel crazy sometimes.
Are you talking about me? Because I tell you I love you all the time.
Yeah, but the way you say it is like that. I love you.
No, I messaged you. I love you literally yesterday, and you went, you're being a real Michael right now. I was like, I'm feeling terrible about myself. I'm going to project this out as love to my beautiful friends. I text my beautiful friend Danielle. I say, I love you. And she says, you're being a real fucking Michael right now, you pussy. So, whatever you want to think, know where you stand. Okay. Anyway, we have one more episode of we have Heidi and Mike tonight. I don't know how I'm going to make it through, to be honest. I'm going to have to drink.
Yeah, you're going to drink. I mean, I'm not going to watch it live because I've got to do my show. But then I'll get home and I'll watch it. Maybe I'll have a drink while I watch it too.
I think it has to be done drunk. I think it's the only way.
We only got two episodes left now.
Well, fucking who knows?
So does the Bachelor in Paradise start next Monday?
Apparently it starts the day after. Yeah, so maybe it is Monday.
Yeah. Naomi, there's definitely an episode on Sunday. It said on the TV last night.
Oh, God. Jesus Christ. Oh, my God. What? All right. We have what the hell?
What? Is there three episodes left?
We got a 4-star review.
Oh, okay. What the fuck? Who the fuck did the 4-star review?
This is your fault, Danielle.
Why?
Okay, so it's Sisson or something. It's a 4-star review and it says, would be 5 stars, but Naomi has shit soil.
Well, thank you. She does have shit soil.
As a white upper middle class male, there is nothing I enjoy more than getting angry about shows that I don't watch. Don't yell at me and please get a German Shepherd for the pod. Saucerson, we're going to yell at you. I said specifically only leave 5-star reviews.
No, this person is on my side. They love soil and they love German Shepherds.
You have a really intimidating stance right now, Danielle. Your legs are wide open. You're like man spreading at me.
Sorry.
I'm going to take a photo of what you look like right now because it is aggressive. Shit soil. I bought better soil.
Did you?
I bought your fucking organic premium soil. And guess what?
Okay, don't act like I gave you a brand. I told you to just go in and buy not the cheapest soil in the world.
I bought the most expensive soil. Okay. And my seeds, I've not seen a fucking budge from them. Nothing.
How long ago did you plant them?
Like 2 weeks ago.
Did you follow the instructions?
The instructions were put the soil in and put the seed in.
Did you put how far down did you put the seed?
Barely far down. You're not supposed to put it far down at all.
No, but like a centimeter or so?
No, not even that. It's on the packet. It's okay, like,
yeah, we'll follow the instructions.
It's like literally packet. Like 2 millimeters down.
Can you confirm that? When you get home?
Well, you want me to take a picture?
I guess it depends on the type of plant. I guess 2 millimeters might be fine for whatever you're planting. Like,
it's supposed to be half the width of the seed.
What the fuck?
I know. I'm just like,
what the fuck seed is that? I'm like, but I only remember, I've only ever planted, because I've never really planted seeds for anything I have in my house right now. Only like vegetable garden when I used to have that.
Mm.
And those were all like 2 centimeters down or 1 centimeter down or something. But I feel like maybe those are just different types of plants.
Yeah.
Like beetroot seeds. My granddad was surprised because I'd read the instruction on beetroot seeds packaging and he'd always just like put them straight in the ground. And I was like, granddad, he was like, yeah, they're hard to grow, those ones. They hardly ever come up. And I was like, granddad, all of mine sprouted and it was because the instruction said to soak them in water for 2 hours before you put them in the ground. And I was like, oh. Like, my granddad's like 65 or something and has been just wasting beetroot seeds for his whole life.
Oh, poor guy.
Love that man.
He sounds insane. All right, we also got a very nice review on...
Well, that first one was really nice.
Well, all right, we'll agree to disagree there. we got a really nice review on Facebook.
Okay, is
it... Oh, there's...
Is it from
There's a bunch of them.
Oh, okay, cool.
Anastasia Mapes.
Yep.
I found this podcast because I can't get enough of Maths AU. These ladies are hilarious. Being from America, I love feeling like I have someone else freaking out with me about all the crazy shit going down this season. Thank you. Okay, my first question to you, Anastasia. Anastasia, is it?
Yeah, I think Anastasia.
You are in America. Why in God's name are you watching Married at First Sight Australia? Why would you do this to yourself?
Because she has a VPN.
Happy to help you out, though. Yeah, this would not be the easiest show to get a hold of. I'm sure there aren't a million, like, copies of this online.
No, I mean, it would be fine. When I was in London, the way I had to watch it was, Jono put a VPN on my computer.
Oh, okay.
And then I could just do it and watch it off the 9Now app or whatever.
All right. Christopher John says,
mm-hmm.
I've listened to nearly every podcast on the Planet Broadcasting Network. That's a network we're a part of, but
yes.
I feel like there's still some admin that we should have done. I feel like we have to put the logo somewhere or something.
Yeah, we probably something like that. I don't know.
I love them all. I'm a massive comic book nerd, but Batch Bitch is the best podcast on the network.
Yes.
Cop that, meso. Naomi and Danielle are hilarious, provide some biting social commentary, go on excellent feminist diatribes, and tell me all about some TV shows that I don't watch, but I don't have to because they provide enough info that I actually remember most of the names, like Who to Hate, Mike, for example. Mm-hmm. Listen to this truly spectacular podcast. You will not regret it. Thanks, Christopher. Just typing that out now.
You're truly a legend. Okay, I'm going to read the...
That's what a beautiful review. And you know what? That person, like, fuck you. That soil has, I bought some fancy soil and it didn't do shit. My shit soil worked way better.
No, Naomi. All your plants died in the shit soil.
That's because my nephew went into the soil and ripped them all out. And I thought I'll try it a bit different next time.
I swear that shit soil, I looked at it and I was like, this isn't the color soil is supposed to be. It was like all like just wood chip. It wasn't like healthy soil.
I'm so mad at you.
Okay.
I followed your instructions and I've been given nothing in return.
Okay, well, the weather's also changed, so let's not act like it hasn't gone cold.
They work best in autumn and spring.
Okay, well then you should reevaluate yourself because you must be a terrible...
The people that I get my advice from, for sure.
Okay, so I'm going to read to you... Our song bio from this week's song called Street Party. It's an upbeat song. You heard it at the start of the episode. We're about to record it as soon as we're finished. It's a smaller song bio description than usual. This is it.
I'm sure it'll still be amazing.
This is my impression of a TV show street party scene scored by a composer from the 90s. Mm. Hashtag Texas Sharpshooter Fallacy. That's the end of it.
Texas...
Sharpshooter fallacy.
The Texas sharpshooter fallacy is an informal fallacy which is committed when differences in data are ignored but similarities are stressed. For this reason, a false conclusion is inferred.
Okay.
So it's basically reading whatever you want out of data. Can you read that one more time? What does it say?
This is my impression of a TV show party scene scored by a composer from the 90s. Hashtag Texas sharpshooter fallacy.
I've got nothing.
No, me neither. All right. That's it. What do we need to do? Go to the Instagram, like that and do comment on there. I think I'm trying to, this is Naomi's bit usually. Then go to the Twitter and do the same thing. And also on the Facebook and our personal ones of all of those things as well.
Please don't tell me to kill myself.
Nobody tell Naomi to kill herself.
I'll do it and you'll feel really bad.
Yeah, it's not a funny joke. Also, if any of you wanted to come to my Melbourne International Comedy Festival show, that would be great. I've got like 18 more shows left.
I can't wait to see it.
Good. You should because it is... well, darker than last year's show.
Oh, boy.
Alrighty. Well, that is us done. Unless you have anything to plug. Do you have anything to plug? No. Okay. Well, yeah. Leave us a review.
You can watch Gamey Game if you want. I'm on that every week.
Yeah. If you can't get enough of Naomi,
you need more of this ass.
Okay. All right. That's enough from us then.
Okay.
Bye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.